the voices you trust to help you understand what's happening.
Ebong Udama,
Janice Roman,
Sabrina Garone,
Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
And the voices that keep you company throughout the week.
I'm Emily Boyer. So glad to be with you today.
Hi, I'm Walt Graham.
Hey there, good evening. I'm Laura Enrico. How are you doing? I hope you've had a good day.
Real people, trusted voices, serving a community we're proud to be a part of. WSHU, news you trust, music you love.
Suffolk County health officials say contamination at the former Grumman plant in Calverton is now threatening the Peconic River. Health department testing shows high levels of hazardous chemicals like PFAS and 1,4-dioxane in the underground plume of contamination. Adrienne Esposito is with Citizens Campaign for the Environment. She's urging the U.S. Navy, which had used the site to build fighter jets, to act quickly and contain the plume.
All they need to do is a typical plume cleanup where they put in extraction wells at the leading edge so they prevent the plume from migrating and pull out the contaminated water and treat it. This is done in plumes all across Long Island. We're not asking them to reinvent the wheel. We're just asking them to use the wheel.
Esposito says it's similar to the cleanup plan the Navy undertook at the Bethpage plume. A Navy spokesperson told Newsday that sampling and analysis by the county isn't on par with the Navy's rigorous standards. This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Lawyers will represent New Haven for free in an immigration lawsuit from the Trump administration. A look at the tax returns of New York's gubernatorial candidates. Plus, we have the latest from WSHU's The Making of Us. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Several lawyers will represent the city of New Haven for free in their lawsuit from the Trump administration over immigration policy. WSHU's Molly Ingram reports.
The Trump administration sued New Haven earlier this month, saying the city was preventing them from carrying out immigration enforcement operations. The lawsuit cites the welcoming city order that Mayor Justin Ellicker signed in 2020, which keeps city employees from working with ICE unless they have a court order. Here's Ellicker.
We are confident that our executive order is compliant with all local, federal, and state laws. Our executive order does not prevent federal authorities from enforcing immigration law. Rather, it makes clear that we do not do the job of the federal government.
The city's legal team will be led by former federal prosecutor Chris Maddy. He represented the families of Sandy Hook victims in their case against Alex Jones. Former Yale Law School Dean Harold Coe is also on the team. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
Republican candidate for New York Governor Bruce Blakeman made almost $700,000 last year. The New York Public News Network's Rhiannon Rashidi looked at his tax returns.
Most of Blakeman's income comes from his salary as Nassau County executive and his wife Siegel's wages as a family court judge. The couple also earned about $200,000 from investments. Some of those earnings include interest from Israeli bonds and dividends from ExxonMobil. Blakeman is Jewish and campaigning to have the state adopt a stricter definition of anti-Semitism. He's also called for more energy development. Governor Kathy Hochul's filings for 2025 show she and her husband made around $1.9 million. The incumbent Democrats' campaign had been attacking Blakeman for not releasing his forms. In New York, I'm Rhiannon Rashidi for the New York Public News Network.
Connecticut lawmakers approved a new four-year contract for 45,000 unionized state employees on Wednesday. WSHU's Ebong Udama has the details.
The contract the Lamont administration negotiated with the State Employee Bargaining Agent Coalition, CBAC, includes general wage increases of 2.5% retroactive to July 2025. There are also additional increases scheduled for July 2026 and July 2027. House Republican Minority Leader Vincent Candelora criticized the deal.
There are certain state workers that are certainly
eating very well at the expense of taxpayers who can't put food on their table.
Democratic House Speaker Matt Ritter defended the deal. He says it's needed, especially for jobs where the state has had difficulty recruiting and retaining workers.
It's hard to find people to do some of these jobs, admittedly. Not all of them, but some of them. You do have to pay competitively to get people to work in a DOC facility. And we've changed the pension schedule a little bit as well, and so I think the increases matter more.
The agreement also goes to the Senate for approval. Ebong Udana, WSH News.
Coming up, WSHU's The Making of Us. This installment, we're taking a look at the freedom of religion. Stay with us.
Three public radio stations, two great American musical traditions, one unforgettable night in New York. WSHU, WQXR, and WBGO are co-hosting a classical and jazz celebration of America at 250 live at City Winery, with performances by clarinetist Anthony McGill, pianist Laura Downs, and vocalist Leslie Harrison with the rich sounds of American music. June 1st at 7 p.m. Tickets and more information at WSHU.org.
Operation Southern Shield is now in effect on Long Island. New York State troopers stationed along the Southern State Parkway are targeting speeders and aggressive drivers through June 12th. The 26-mile parkway is one of the most dangerous in the state, according to a Newsday analysis of collision data. Only one U.S. representative from Connecticut voted in favor of extending the controversial foreign surveillance law that passed the House last night. Representative Jim Himes from Greenwich, who is the ranking Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, was the lone yes. The Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act allows the U.S. to surveil foreigners on American soil without a warrant. Five LIRR unions are threatening to go on strike May 16th if they can't reach a deal with the MTA on wage increases. The MTA says they'll have to raise fare prices 8% next year to meet the workers' demands. LIRR leaders called the claim, quote, baseless. The 5-cent surcharge on mini bottles of alcohol has generated more than $22 million for Connecticut towns and cities. The program began in 2021. Towns and cities are able to use the money for environmental protection-related projects. The United States is home to more than 370 religious bodies, according to a 2020 religion census. Molly Ingram explores the separation of church and state for this week's episode of WSHU's The Making of Us.
The Constitution prohibits state-sponsored religion and guarantees the freedom to practice any faith a person chooses. But that doesn't stop religion from influencing American politics, sometimes in ways that end up in front of the Supreme Court. Rachel Lazar leads the nonprofit Nonpartisan, Americans United for Separation of Church and State.
It's often called the first freedom, religious freedom, because it's actually protected in the first 16 words of the First Amendment.
Separation of church and state was a uniquely American ideal when it was introduced, and it was important to the framers, which is why they put it front and center in the First Amendment. They had watched American colonists escape religious prosecution by Europeans and wanted to make sure that wasn't repeated. Thomas Jefferson drafted the Virginia Statute for Religious Freedom. It established the separation of church and state.
He spoke about religious freedom having within its mantle the Jew and the Gentile, the Christian, the Mohammedan, the Hindu, and the infidel of every faith. So he wrote about this, about the Virginia Statute for Religious Freedom from the late 1700s. Imagine how radical that was for that era.
Religious freedom is protected in multiple places in the Constitution. Article 6 says there can't be a religious test to run for public office. And there are two clauses in the First Amendment.
One of them is the free exercise clause that says we should all be able to freely exercise our religion. And then there's the establishment clause that I like to describe as the non-establishment clause, because what that clause says is the government can't favor or disfavor one religion over any others, or religion over non-religion.
Lawmakers have long used their faith to inform policy decisions, and that's considered appropriate. It becomes a problem when those beliefs are forced onto others. Religious themes have seeped into American civic life and bureaucracy throughout our history. We have God We Trust on paper money and Under God in the Pledge of Allegiance from fighting, quote, godless communism during the Cold War. Several Republican-led states have raised eyebrows over the last few years for passing laws that require classrooms to display the Ten Commandments. Lazar's organization represents the plaintiffs in five cases against the laws who say their religious freedoms are being infringed upon. Rulings had been in their favor until very recently, when a Texas circuit court narrowly ruled against them.
They said that the poster was just a poster on a wall, which is honestly should offend anyone who values the Ten Commandments and really shows the way that when you merge religion and the state, it sullies religion.
The cases could end up in front of the Supreme Court. Lazar says the body has historically been on the side of the challengers who want to keep religion separate.
The Supreme Court has been very careful over time, including more conservative judges, to protect the religious freedom of school children, realizing that they're captive audiences, they have to go to school, and that they're impressionable.
Lazar says the nation is at a crossroads for the separation of church and state, between people, religious and not, who want to keep the country unaffiliated, and those who want religion and governing to be synonymous. The country's 250th anniversary, Lazar said, could be the perfect opportunity to recommit to the founders' idea of separation. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
For the latest from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio, online at WSHU.org. And for instant access to all your favorite WSHU programs and podcasts, download the free WSHU app today on the App Store or Google Play. I'm Sabrina Garon. Have a great rest of your day, and I'll speak with you tomorrow.